This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Oh, let's cheer for some gangsters today. Let us cheer for some gangsters today. You think you're not going to? You're saying, Jesse, that's wrong. We shouldn't cheer for... Oh, you're going to cheer for him today. I promise you that. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it's going to be an awesome day. We actually have Liz Wheeler, the famed Liz Wheeler, coming up next hour, and we're going to talk to her not necessarily about specific things. I want to talk to her about culture. She's all about culture. What happened to ours? We're going to talk about a $4 trillion infrastructure plan. We're going to talk about Asians being beaten now routinely by black people in various big cities. And we're going to talk about ethnic tensions and racial tensions and how those tensions get handled. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a really non-controversial day here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let us first rewind, as we often do, only not that far. And we're really not going that far geographically. We are going to stay right here in the U.S. of A today. And I'm going to try to make this story relatively fast because I have so much to get to. But there are no promises there. Let's go back to America. Think early 1900s. That's very rough, but early 1900s, what America looked like. One of the things that really took shape in America was a heavy German population. And what's funny is, depending on where you live today, you may still see evidence of that everywhere. If you're in Wisconsin, I guarantee you have areas that are heavily German. You have German restaurants. You have German names. Here in Texas, not far, I go past it taking my kids to church camp every single year. There's huge German communities. And some of the best German food you can imagine. Of course, I would find that. Everyone has a German name. It was the dominant immigrant group by a mile for a long time historically in the country, and did a lot to shape the country, did a lot to occupy the Midwest. And there are a lot of reasons for that, but look, German people came here and just planted themselves in the Midwest, lots of them. Now, let's go to World War I. World War I was an interesting bear. This is not a World War I story. I'm just going to try to blow through this. But World War I was really the first time for most modern Americans, really for most Americans, period, that we were sending our entire military force to foreign soil. to fight a war where we weren't threatened on our border. This is not something that happened in America. Yes, no, we've never had a completely hands-off policy. Oh, our military doesn't leave our borders. That's ridiculous. That's not true. And we've certainly had plenty of fights with, say, Mexico over things like Texas and California. And I know what they teach you in your miserable government schools, but contrary to popular opinion, we fought wars. We won. They lost. That's why Texas and California are now ours and not theirs. That's called life. Anyway, I digress. World War I pops up, and Americans are sending American boys overseas, and they're dying. Lots of them are dying in World War I. And this is creating an interesting thing here at home. And this is a great window into human nature. That's half the reason we talk history every single day on this show, is it gives us a great window into human nature. All those Germans that had packed themselves into the United States of America, they were starting to get the side eye. And I mean the side eye. It went way more, it went way, way beyond, that guy's got a German name, dirtball. It went to shaming German people in public. It went to making German people kiss American flags in the public square. Oh yeah, it's ugly, right? It's ugly. It went to... Well, you know why we call them hot dogs and not wieners? I think wiener schnitzel. No, not wiener schnitzel. Wiener something. They were called a very German name, but they're hot dogs now. No, it's not schnitzel, Chris. It was something else. I forget it. But either way, that got changed during this time because we're not calling these things German names anymore. That's why you call them hot dogs today. That's real. And before you get caught up in your, these dirty Americans, these Americans profiling, that is the history of the world in every single country, especially with immigrant groups of any kind. It is not unique to any religion. Everyone knows Jews went through this when they got here. It's not unique to any nation. It wasn't just Germans. It was the Irish. It was the Italians. It's not unique to black people. It's not unique to Hispanic people. The history of the world is a nation of people getting an influx of immigrants, and there already being some kind of a natural distrust there. And then life's events happen, and it goes from distrust to something more ugly. Interning Japanese American citizens in World War II is not exactly a bright, shining thing on the resume of America. Ugly, right? Terrible? But I'll tell you right now, I had this email the other day. It was about the internment camps, and it was about, are they justified? Were they justified? Easy to demonize them now, but we didn't know what was going on. We'd just been attacked in Pearl Harbor. Where are these people's loyalties? And look, me, I say, no, that's not justified. But, it's easy for me to say at this time. Let me ask you a very hard question. A very hard question. What kinds of things were you saying about Muslims or thinking about Muslims during that period of time? You remember it not long ago when ISIS was inspiring all these deadly terrorist attacks across America and Europe. What were you saying about Muslims coming to your country? Muslims in your country? And I am not doing this thing where I point a finger at you like the idiotic media. You're a racist. You're a bigot. This is Islamophobia. I'm saying this is human nature for all of us. All of us. That's just a fact. It's how people operate. Is it ugly? No. Or yes, it's ugly. Is it where you want to be? No. But it's human nature. It's human nature. Now, this created, obviously, an environment with the German people in America where they were feeling a bit on the outs, a bit threatened, and a totally, totally justifiable feeling, I should point out, because they were kind of on the outs, and they were threatened. And when people do that, people tend to group up and turtle up and get behind your own little ethnic group. And that is done, well, it's done for good reasons and bad ones. We're going to talk about the good and the bad of turtling up. And Liz Wheeler, next hour. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It's really, really, really hard to quit dipping. And I know you're going to find this shocking, but I tried and failed to do it time and time and time again. And that's probably because I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I know some people get to that point where they take out their dip and they say to themselves, ugh, this is disgusting. I hate this. I wish I could stop. That was never me. But I couldn't quit. Not on my own. I needed help. Jake's Mint Chew is what worked. Jake's Mint Chew is tobacco-free, it's nicotine-free, and it's sugar-free. But it's also a replacement. It's something you can put in your lip to help you get off that dip. And it's helping people quit smoking, too. They even have these CBD pouches that really help. Go to jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse, that's J-E-S-S-E, for 20% off. Just a heads up for everyone, 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Call live, leave a voicemail, email your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We have some emails today that are positively frightening. We do have Liz Wheeler next hour. We're going to address the Black on Asian violence problem going on. But I want to give everyone a heads up because I know you're gravely concerned about the sunroof repairs I was having done on my truck from last week. I'm not even making this up on my life. I finally do pick up my truck, take off. It's been a week now. My sunroof rattles. And I don't mean, I do not mean like a little buzz. I'm talking, there are pieces that did not get put back in the sunroof. And it has not yet rained here or not rained significantly. I'm in very serious trouble. And everyone says, oh, just trade it in, just trade it in. I know, I can see the sky, Chris. I know it's going to rain today. I know that. Everyone says, just trade it in. I run vehicles until the wheels come off. That's just how I do it. They depreciate. I can't bear paying that kind of money for a vehicle and then taking it in 2 or 3 years and losing like half the value. My heart can't do it. And I realize that makes me sound like Jewish producer Chris, but I can't do it. It's the same reason I don't have expensive vices. And I have vices like everyone else. And you know I'm a terrible human being. I am. I'm genuinely a sociopath, a bad person. But I don't have expensive vices just because I can't bring myself to spend the money. Like drugs, beyond killing you and rotting out your brain, I'm sure they're fun. I'm not spending that kind of money. These people ruin their lives on that kind of stuff. Gambling's another one. And I'm not one of these militant anti-gamblers. I'll throw a $10 bill on a game, a $20 with a buddy. I used to play when I watched football. I play fantasy football for money. I've sat down at a blackjack table 100 times. But I sit down with a certain specific amount of money. Usually, I'll be honest, it's like $50 or $100. And I gamble it. And when it's gone, I'm gone. Period. I just can't I can't do it. It's not that I'm not enjoying the gambling. It's not like I have anything against the vice. I just can't spend the money. So that's why I can't trade my truck in. And one other thing I have to bring up before I get back to my German-American bun story. Women are so easy to manipulate when it comes to kids manipulating them. My kid, my oldest kid, and you know, we're not exactly slave drivers for the kids, but we're not exactly pillow soft on the boys in my house. He went and got the rubber band spacers put out and put in his teeth because he's getting ready to get braces. The $4,000 braces, Chris. By the way, there's a payment plan for those freaking things. But I get a text from the wife. She's keeping him home from school today because his teeth hurt. My goodness, that's so ridiculous. That kid, when I get home, I'm going to pound him. All right. America. Germans being resented. World War I. There starts to be, post-World War I, a rise of what in Germany? A rise of Nazism. The Nazis begin to rise. Hitler begins to rise out there. And I want to clarify something, and I'm going to repeat this several times throughout our little story today. Adolf Hitler and National Socialism and Nazis, he was not 80, 90% of the country of Germany cheering for this guy. They started out with, I believe they were 2% of the government at first. It was a tiny minority of the population. They ended up gaining steam, but he was not all every German. Oh, woo, I love Hitler. Oh, Jews, yeah, they suck. Hitler's the best. It was not like that. Oh, there were plenty of Germans who signed on. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending everyone, but we like to do these all-encompassing things where, oh, they're all Nazis. No. No, that's not true. In America, even more so, America instinctively disliked Hitler pretty much immediately. America as a country and the vast majority of our German immigrant population disliked Hitler almost immediately. He was so open with that Jews suck, Jew this, Jew that. It really turned Americans off bad, which is kind of cool when you think about it. The country as a whole and our German population. It's not like America saw that and went, yeah, you're right, they do. America was all, I don't like that. That sounds terrible. But at this point in time, Hitler was a nutball. Obvious, clearly anti-Semitic, kind of out there. But remember this, when he was on the rise, Hitler wasn't Hitler yet. Hitler was rabidly anti-communist, which was, America was always anti-communist. I mean, before now, was rabidly anti-communist. And Hitler hadn't murdered 8 million Jews yet. And he hadn't started really a war yet. He was just a guy building Germany back up. He wasn't a monster yet. And so, in America, some of the German people here begin to look around and really did not appreciate their treatment. And they see this guy across the pond who's talking about the greatness of Germany and Third Reich this and Third Reich that, and yeah, he hates Jews. I don't really like them either. It began to grow a following here in the United States of America, a real, significant, real-life Nazi following here. It was something called the German-American Bund, or Bund, and it's B as in boy, U-N-D, if you want to look it up. Bund just means a group, a federation. That's all that means, the German-American Bund. And they start to rise. This is pre-World War II. They start to gain popularity in various German areas across the country. How popular were they? Some people estimate there were 200,000 of them in America. And I don't want you to sit and think that they were just, you know, having some Wiener Schnitzel on a Friday night, and oh, Hitler ain't a bad guy, is he? No, he's not. Anyway, Marv, how about them Braves? It was swastika flags, swastika armbands, Nazi parades through towns in the United States of America. And to our credit, once again, most of America, this is pre-Holocaust, pre-war, most of America thought these guys were idiots and clowns. Oh gosh, what are these scumbags talking about? But they also weren't evil Nazis yet, because the Nazis hadn't really started in on the truly evil stuff yet. They were just kind of clownish, kind of ridiculous. Along comes a man named Fritz Kuhn. Fritz Kuhn was a World War I veteran for Germany. He was a German. Post-World War I, things were rough, to put it mildly, in Germany. Their economy was in tatters. The entire world had dumped all over them in the Treaty of Versailles. And so young men who were trying to get by were struggling post-World War I. Kuhn gets busted doing some stealing, gets busted running some scams, ends up in Mexico, then he ends up in America. Fritz Kuhn decided he was going to take over this German-American bund. And he did. And get ready to root for some gangsters. Next, hang on.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students.
Oh, we will get to more Yuri Bezmenov a little later in the show. Believe me, I'm going somewhere with that. I just wanted to give you just a little taste, Chris. That's what you call professional radio talk stuff. 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before we get to what's happening here with our own ideological subversion, before we get to the spending, before we get to the black people beating up Asians, let's go back again to the German-American boon. A man named Fritz Kuhn, German immigrant, comes over, begins to rise in the ranks. As he rises, Hitler is now rising. We're now mid-1930s, 1936 Olympics in Germany, so on and so forth. Kuhn actually travels to Germany and he shakes Hitler's hands. They didn't know each other. It doesn't matter. It wasn't anything important. But remember those parades they were having? Well, now they're having camps right here in the United States of America. And they sound innocent at first, and that's how they get you. They get you with, you're a victim, you've been victimized, and that's not always a lie. It's not always a lie. That's part of how they get you. You're a victim, you've been a victim. Hey, would you want to come out to our camp? Oh, I don't know about the camp. I don't know about camps. No, you don't understand. We sing and we dance and we drink German beer and we just have a good old time. We got some Fräuleins out there. It's not too shabby. Oh, okay, I'll come out to the camp. And they had these huge camps, and these were going on all over the country. And they would name them things like Camp Hindenburg, who was obviously one of the German commanders in World War I. And you show up at these camps, and I mean kids. These are family camps. You show up at these camps, and yes, they're singing, and there's dancing, and they're drinking, and they're having a good time. And there's also forced marches for the adults and the kids. And there are also, straight out of the movies, midnight bonfires in the forest where you will gather around a swastika and pledge allegiance to it right here in the United States of America. And I'm telling you, this was not 20 people. Like I said, the higher estimates say this is a 200,000-person group by now. And this thing is getting big enough where they're starting to print about it in the newspaper. There was a famous entertainment journalist, I think he was back then, and his name was Walter Winchell, and he was the son of a rabbi. And he starts to get wind of these groups, and I have heard speeches when I was digging through some stuff to get ready for the show. You can hear it out there. There are speeches you can hear from this Fritz Kuhn at these gigantic German-American bund meetings, and it's not as if he was Americanizing the Nazi rhetoric. It's a whole bunch of, it's the Jew with his hooves in the, I mean, it, ugly, like, ugly stuff, straight out of Hitler, straight out of Hitler's stuff. And they have a massive, massive rally at Madison Square Garden in 1939. That's right. This actually happened. A humongous Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden in 1939. Now, here's the good news. America is a pretty cool place. And yeah, they packed about 20,000 real American Nazis in this place, and Kuhn was up there, and he's giving his anti-Jew speeches and stuff like that. You know how many Americans were outside protesting it, actually violently protesting it, wanting to get in there and murder them? 100,000. There were five times as many Americans outside. And then, like I said, this is pre-monster Hitler. Five times as many Americans outside saying, who are these dirtball scumbags? Pretty cool, right? But these were dangerous people, just like the ones in Germany. Remember I brought up Walter Winchell, the journalist who started writing about these guys, and other journalists started writing about these guys? Yeah, they sent their American brown shirts to Walter Winchell and beat the crap out of him. These guys were real. They were dangerous. This Fritz Kuhn dude was a dangerous human being. He was feared. And these meetings are happening everywhere, and it's scary, right? Well, the American system is a wonderful system. Freedom is really what you want. Obviously, it's under assault right now, but it's a system where, frankly, you're free to be a Nazi. You're free to be obnoxious. You are free to say the things you want to say. Louis Farrakhan should have a platform. The KKK should have a platform. ISIS, Nazis, the Black Panthers, you pick your terrible group of people you hate. You should not want them silenced. Not here. Let everyone speak. And that was our law system. Now, granted, that's going away. But the American government is looking at this American Nazi movement, and they've started a congressional committee, the Un-American Studies Committee, and they're digging into this American Nazi movement, and they're gravely concerned. They want something done about this. But you don't have the freedom in America, if you're the government, you don't have the freedom to go to somebody and say, stop saying this thing I don't like. So they kind of went around it. There was a massively powerful mobster in the United States of America. And you can make the argument, people have made it before, the most powerful mobster in the history of the country is not an Italian. He was a Jew. His name was Meyer Lansky. He famously got to know Bugsy Siegel, that other famous Jewish gangster, as a kid. He famously got to know Charles Lucky Luciano, the guy who revolutionized the American mafia and organized the American mafia to run like a corporation, and Meyer Lansky helped him with that. Let's just put it to you this way. There's not a single mobster, Italian or Jewish or otherwise, in the United States of America who had the power to take out Meyer Lansky, period, when he hit his peak. Nobody had the power. He was that big. And Lansky had the power to take out others if he so chose. This was a man running things here. And you had other famous Jewish gangsters like Mickey Cohn in L.A., like I already said, Bugsy Siegel. And a United States congressman approached Meyer Lansky and said to him, hey, we don't like these Nazis. I know you're not a devoutly religious man. And I should clarify, Lansky was obviously not a devoutly religious man and shunned by most of the Jewish community because they thought he was a gangster and a man who violated their values, which of course he did. But the United States congressman goes to Lansky and says, hey, you're a Jew. We don't like these Nazis. I'm assuming you don't like these Nazis, but setting that aside, I have an idea. Would you like to hear my idea? And Lansky says, yes, I would. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to tell you his idea.
Out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
I'm not even making this up. I used to have allergies so bad in the morning. I would wake up, of course, through the whole blowing my nose thing. I don't need to elaborate on that. But sometimes my kids would look at me and say, are you crying? And they were obviously surprised because I'm not what you would call a big crier, but I would have tears coming out the sides of my eyes. That's how bad my allergies get. Not anymore. I wake up now and I don't have any of that. Why? Because I have not one, not two, but three Eden Pure thunderstorms around my home. The ultimate air purifier. It's not huge. It's not loud. It's small. It's quiet. And my allergies never bug me anymore. Like I said, I own three of them. Go get yourself one. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Jesse for $10 off. It is the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. You can find me on social media at JesseKellyDC on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook. I'm also on Locals. That's the one I can't get kicked off of. And remember this about these German groups turtling up as a real or imagined oppressed minority is perfectly natural. It just can get good and bad at the same time. It can get good in that there is protection in numbers. There's safety in numbers. Here is the truth about it. Black people in America today is a great example. Sometimes people on the right get upset when black people focus on only black things. I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot of, I only listen to black music, or I only have black friends, or what. And obviously that can get to a really unhealthy and oftentimes even racist place. But I will also say this. They're 13% of the population. They are a minority. If white people were 13% of the population and most of the country was black, you would see a similar dynamic. That's why the dynamic works out that way in prison. Why do you think it works that way in prison? Do white guys hang with the white guys? Do Northern Mexican, the Northern Californian Mexicans hang with themselves? The Southern California Mexicans hang with themselves? The black people hang with themselves? That's how it works. That's how people operate, and we don't have to be scared to talk about that stuff at all. So again, turtling up as a small minority group is natural, but can get very unhealthy, as you've seen with the German-American Bund thing. So Meyer Lansky is approached by a congressman. He says, hey, Meyer, we will pay you. We know you're all about money, and Meyer Lansky was all about money. We will pay you to start making these German-American Bund groups and meetings feel your wrath a little bit. And Meyer Lansky, to his credit, I told you were going to cheer for the gangster today, to his credit, says, oh, I don't need any money for that. I'm more than happy to do that for free. And they did have a deal with him, which he was apparently upset about, which is kind of hilarious. He was not allowed to kill anybody, because he would have just gone around and killed them all. He wasn't allowed to do that. They didn't want that kind of scandal on their hands. If you can imagine a U.S. congressman approaching a mobster, telling him to go around and murder people he doesn't like, that could potentially be a bit of a problem. But Meyer Lansky begins to locate all these groups and all these meetings across the country. And when you're a guy like that, you don't need the CIA or the FBI or somebody to tell you the who, what, when, where, and why these groups are meeting. When you're a guy like Meyer Lansky, you have better on-the-ground intelligence than all those groups combined. It was nothing for Meyer Lansky to locate these meetings, and it was nothing for Meyer Lansky to grab some Jewish gangster buddies and some Italians, because, again, they were very close by now. Get your baseball bats, get your brass knuckles, get your chains. We're going out for a night on the town, boys. And they went around and began beating the crap out of these Nazi groups, pummeling them, hospitalizing them routinely. Routinely. Didn't I tell you were going to root for a gangster today? Should be noted, just a quick side note, you know how I'm always called a nutjob, because I don't subscribe to any conspiracy theories for the most part, but I will always believe that the mob killed Kennedy. I think people who don't believe that are insane. Multiple mobsters have come out and talked about it. They all tell the same story. It was Traficante. It was Carlos Marcello of New Orleans. It was Sam Giancana of Chicago. And they killed him because they believed they helped get him elected with the promise that he would back off. And instead, he appoints his brother as AG, and his brother promptly goes right after the mafia, and they were mad about it. But I'm not going to go off on a tangent there. And I should be noted, there are wiretaps and things like that. We have multiple guys who've come out and said, oh, yeah, we did it. Either way, one of the Jewish guys, the Jewish, you know, mob hangers-on, he wasn't part of the Jewish mob, but he was a hang-around guy, who would routinely, this was in Chicago, he would routinely go around and help break up these German-American bund groups with bats and such. His name was Jacob Rubinsky. Oh, you don't recognize that name? He eventually moved down to Dallas and changed his name to Jack Ruby. You recognize that name? But we don't have to go into that story today. Now, how did this story end? Well, the FBI was after Kuhn, and Meyer Lansky's boys helped break up the actual infrastructure on the ground. the FBI ended up busting Kuhn for scamming off the group, because of course he would scam off the group. He was a huge womanizer, and they got one of the women he was enjoying himself with. They got her to wear a wire, busted the guy. He went to jail, and the group pretty much started to disappear. And then Pearl Harbor happened, and now we're at war with Germany, and the group very much disappeared because that was no longer going to be tolerated. But let's go back to the Lansky thing. Are you a supporter of what he did? Not did you cheer? We all cheered. Was that the right thing to do? We're about to have a hard discussion about something right now, and boy, this is going to get uncomfortable. Hang on.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Remember, if you missed any part of the Jesse Kelly Show, you can find it on Google, iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, leave a review talking about how handsome I am. We have one already. It says, loved it. I've followed this handsome, I can't say that word, on Twitter for years. Really enjoyed the handsomeness of the format. What, Chris? Reminds me of Rush. Cocky, dissecting the news, stirring up the left on purpose. Very cool show. Love the Pinochet story. Very handsome stuff, Chris. What? Oh, I have more reviews, Chris. There are more here. I'll be reading them later on. But leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review talking about how handsome I am. 877-377-4373 is the number. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Email your love, your hate, your death threats, and your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. All your emails go right to Jewish producer Chris. He prints them for me. I read them all, and we have a couple doozies today. Now, race, conflict, tension. Let's get in trouble. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, 3 olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.